I was, a long time ago, once taught indirectly the answer to the sample size question was to ask the researcher two questions: how much money do you have, and how much time do you have? And that'll determine how big your sample is going to be. So forget about all the statistics. This is our third presentation. We actually have a substitute speaker. Well, his name is on the slide, the second one. Dr. Arnold Degboy, from Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center, and also talking about SEM.
Thank you. I'm here to present on behalf of Adam Carl. I started working with him about 2 months now. I didn't work on this particularly, but I'm sure I can answer any questions that you may have about it. And this afternoon, I would like to talk about evaluating context influence on health disparities, an illustrative example of using multi-level structure equation models. I don't have any disclosures to make, it's not on the slide, but I want to point out that. And the issue is increasingly, especially in health disparities, people are trying to understand how, beside individual factors, that has been the traditional way of looking at the factors that affect health disparities, how contextual level variables also matter. So people live not only, it's not only their own factors that matter, but where they live also matter. So there is, as an example here, if we want to look at how an individual self-rated health affects how the person raised their own self-rated health, in terms of looking at the predictors, his access to healthcare, as well as his minority status. That would be one level by which we can look at that. But the other question that you have to ask is, what about the average healthcare access across, let's say, the county in which the person lives? If somebody lives in an urban area and somebody lives in a rural area, in a rural area where there's limited healthcare facilities, don't you think that will affect the person's access to health? So you might find health disparities between somebody in a rural area and somebody in an urban area, but it might not only be their individual factors that matter, but also the context in which they live. So in this illustration, we'll demonstrate that. So multi-level modeling has become a good way for health services researchers to try and address this question of how contextual level factors also affect outcomes. And this example by Bethel and Adam is also one of them. They look at national level, state level, and local level disparities in obesity, and you clearly see that it also varies across the context in which people live. But the question still remains in the disparities research is, how do we measure contextual variables? How do we measure it? And that's very key. And it's because of the problems that associated with the contextual variables, how to measure it. That's why SEM becomes a very useful tool that you can use. So typically, there are two ways in which contextual measures have been, are two ways to measure contextual variables. One is a global measure like population density. We can use the census level data to measure that. The other way is you group together individual responses. For instance, if you are finding neighborhood collective efficacy, there is no global way in which you are going to measure that. You have to ask individuals about their efficacy, and then you have to group that together to get at the context. The global measures, as I said, like population density, that can be broken down. But when it comes to the aggregate, you still can get an individual's response and at the same time get the neighborhood or the context in which the person lives. However, when we are measuring, we have to be sure that we have to be aware that they are random measurements, especially when you are using self-reported health, like the efficacy I measured. And when you are aggregating that further into another level, you are introducing more error. So because of that, we have to be very sure. We might not be very sure that we are measuring very reliably or validly whatever contextual variables we have because of the measurement error. A perfectly measured level one requires that we have to be very sure that our sample is very representative of the population that we are measuring or looking at. And at the same time, we have to be very sure that we are measuring our construct very perfectly. I don't think any of us here will feel very good about those assumptions. So any method that overlooks the measurement error might not measure the true effect. In other words, the measure might not be very valid. You might underestimate the true relationship between a predictor and an outcome. So multi-level structural equation modeling offers a potent way that we can overcome that. It doesn't mean we don't have those assumptions, but we know that we can not hold very firmly onto them. So it recognizes that we can average at the context level as an approximation of the true contextual level. So the context measure is actually an average of the individual responses, bearing in mind that you may have errors. So in SEM, you consider the contextual variable as a latent variable that you estimate for the individual level response. So you are not measuring it directly. You are assuming that it's a latent variable. And once it's a latent variable in SEM, it assumes that there is an error component that adds up to the true measure before you get whatever you are observing in the population. So let's look at first the left-hand side. So for the individual level access, for instance, the big circle will be the latent variable that we are trying to measure, and that consists of the average individual responses represented by the round circles, the arrows pointing from the bottom at your error terms, and that's what comes together to give you your observed distance from Y1 to the Y5. And once you are able to estimate your average, then you can use that to determine the county level, because you'd have taken care of the error that you were worried about that you introduced into your measurement. So in our example, let's say we want to measure the level of healthcare access across a county. We could call that an access climate. So we assess the climate reflected in how it reflects its individual's healthcare. Suppose then we want to predict the individual self-rated health from the person's own access as well as the climate access in the county. We'll be able to examine that and then find out how that influences disparities in their self-reported health. And this opens up a very good way in which health disparities could be moved further when you are looking at things like segregation and all that stuff and where people live, the environment in which they live. You'll be able to use this tool to assess how that influences their individual level outcomes, such as self-reported health. So in this illustration, data was used from the 2008 Ohio Family Health Survey, approximately 51,000 clustered within counties, was stratified by county, oversampled African Americans, Asians, and people of Hispanic origin, and non-institutionalized population in Ohio. The data is weighted, but for weighted sample, in this illustration, we don't do that because that requires special technique. We also don't subpopulation. If you want to do that, we use only the complete cases. You need to introduce other techniques as well. It's just like the sample size issue we mentioned earlier, and in SEM, those are some of the problems you have to deal with when you are using huge data sets that are more complexly sampled. There are weighted things you have to find a way of dealing with that. So for illustration purposes, we deal with the unweighted data just to illustrate how it can be done. So the level one assess predictors of rated health and how minority status may affect that, and also look at the outcome, how the relationship, how it differs by minority status, and also look at how county level assess predictor self-rated health, and whether the density of minorities in the county also relates to the self-rated health. The health is measured from, so here the excellence is one, and poor is 5. Most cases is the reverse. So here it means a higher figure actually means the person has a poor health. And higher outcomes represent a poor rated health. That's what I've said already. So to get our construct of individual level, 5 different measures were used. How difficult it was to get health in the last 3 years. Unfulfilled prescription, unfulfilled dental health care need. Did you get medical care in the past? Were you uninsured? And one advantage of doing this, it helps you to just looking at one measure of healthcare access. Were you able to get access to healthcare last year? You'll be able to more also bring in more other factors that impact on people's real life. It's not only one issue that they consider. And the minority status, non-Hispanic whites, are the reference group. So you liken the listed items there as the Y1 to Y5 that I showed in the diagram in the earlier slide. So the linked variable context was measured from the average county on the 5 individual level assess. And then the percentage minority in the county was estimated from the data. So on average, whites had 3, they rated their health as good. And in the model, the main outcome was that as difficulty in access increases, individuals rate their health very poorly. That's at the individual level. And at the contextual level, minorities experience poorer health at the same access level. As we can see, the coefficients are positive. What about the county access climate and self-rated health? So as the access within a county decreases, individuals rate their health more poorly because of the way the testing was measured. And so for instance, individuals in counties with an access of 2 standard deviation worse, in an access climate that is 2 standard deviation worse, will rate their health fair as opposed to good when you translate that. There was a minor finding here that we are still trying to think about, that as minority increases, self-rated health also increases slightly. Very small, how big that is a distance. We talked about it, and one possibility is that, does it mean that if minorities, let's say, are cluttered in an urban area where there might be more safety health hospitals and all that nets, that might help them to get more access to health, and that might be that. That's just one suggestion. It's one thing that we are trying to find out why minority, when there's more minorities in a place, they tend to rate their health better. The other thing is this support from each other, cohesion in the family and all that. So people who are like together, they are more likely to support each other. It could also be information. When you live in a place that somebody is like you, the person is more likely to share very useful information about healthcare that might impact positively on your health. So this resource highlights that health occurs at multiple levels, not only at the individual level, but the contextual level. The multi-level structure equation modeling enables you to acknowledge, one, that there's measurement error at the individual level. It also helps you acknowledge that there's measurement error at the contextual level and corrects for both in your model. And this is just one piece of model that you slot in everything and specify, and it spews out your results. You don't need to do it multiple times. So for it, there are other possibilities for this. One important one could be cultural competence, where you want to find out the cultural competence, whether it affects people's health outcome. Let's say in a physician practice. So individuals will measure their own perception of how culturally competent the physician is. And you can also aggregate those scores at the clinic level and be able to find out not only how the individual's perception of the cultural competence of the physician affects their outcome, but how the clinics or the institution's overall cultural competence also affects the outcome. So this also shows how issues like cultural competence, which are quite difficult to measure and all that, but might affect health, will all come in. when you move to things like immigrant populations, like acculturation and all those things, that will also offer a good approach where you can use structural equation modeling to get at that. All right, so as I said, this is just a summary of what we found, and the takeaway here is that this can be modeled in a very single parsimonious analysis. It's not complicated. This is a picture of my co-worker, Adam's daughter, and this will be her first Halloween, and the dad said he doesn't want to miss that, so they are spending that at home. I don't know what you think about the picture. She probably looks slightly confused, isn't it? So the conclusion is SEM offers a new and powerful approach to modeling complex relationships for individual and contextual variables and how it affects health outcomes for minorities. Open up another toolbox where you can use those tools to assess how interventions can be formulated to reduce health disparities. Thank you very much.
We do have time for questions. Yes.
Do you have a sense of how much variation there is within the county of how people sort of look at their access? Is that sort of fairly uniform within counties?
That would be a question. Because I didn't do the actual analysis, I don't have idea about what the descriptives look like in access terms within the county. But I can get your this thing and can get you the answer and email that to you. Yeah.
And if I could follow up on that, you may not have the answer to this either, but I'm wondering whether the county is sort of a meaningful level of clustering here. Not that I have necessarily a better suggestion, but you could think of, say, urban versus rural. So I'm wondering, I'm just kind of curious whether the county makes sense in this multi-level model.
Yeah, I agree with you. The count in this contextual modeling issue is a big issue. I mean, when in demography, when people are wondering whether should you use a county zip code, where do you draw the line? If one county or zip code and there are people within the fringes of a very endowed county, how do you? So it's a really strong debate about where do you actually draw the measure in research of this sort. But for the data being secondary and collected at the county level, this is what we were able to do. Yeah.
I was just wondering, kind of follow up with that question, was that perhaps access would probably be clustered within, if you will, provider domains, hospital regions or practice regions and stuff like this. And I wonder if you had any
geographical
information. That might be a better clustering thing.
Yeah. I think that's a useful area resource file, drawing on that to pull in some facility variables, the number of physicians and all that in the distinct, could help the model. I'm not very sure whether in this particular analysis those variables were controlled for, because there were other variables that were in the model that I didn't mention, but I don't know the extent to which they brought in some of those contextual variables. But I think it would be very useful, especially in health disparities, finding out people's access, how that affects it. Thank you.
You mentioned that in this analysis you didn't control for the step-length design. Yeah, so is there any...
Yeah, so this is an illustration. So I would say that because you didn't control for sample design, your findings might, the measures, the estimates might not be the actual estimates. But for the purposes of our demonstration, that was what we were just aiming at. Our aim is not to, if we were submitting this to a general, this thing, they'll question us that if this is a complex data, you need to account for weight. But one of the problems in the SEM is what kind of approach do you use in accounting for the weight, because they are not very easy to incorporate into your model. Some of the softwares can it's quite probably easier to lie. Like M plus is quite friendly when it comes to using things like weight. So when you are doing this kind of thing, you have to look at the software you are using very carefully. As M plus also handles the missing data very well. So you have to choose, depending on the kind of data you have, if you want to get very accurate estimates, you must find out more information about the software that you use.
So you need examples of the algorithm by itself with how single item with five categories, right?
Yes. Yeah, so that's one of the debate issues in structural equation. People talk about multivariate normality, whether how are the variables distributed and all that. That's true, and you need to verify whether those variables are distributed well. The other thing I know about the SEM is that if you have categorical variables that are not normally distributed, you could specify it. The only thing, you won't get the outcome, a single estimates like this. It will have to give you the estimates for each threshold, let me put it that way, within the model. Okay. The outcome in the latent, this thing is the latent variable you are measuring, and in that latent, it interprets the latent as a continuous variable. If you want it to interpret the latent variable you've measured as a categorical, you have to specify that in your model. So in this particular sense, it was measured as a continuous variable. That's why I interpreted it out.
Thank you.